again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. I do hope that you're getting familiar with that theme song, because if you are, then you're a consistent listener of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. And to all of you in Madison and the North Florida area, we're so glad that you have tuned in today. And if you're a first-time listener, we welcome you. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you today. If you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we're so glad that you did, and we welcome you to our broadcast today. And we do pray sincerely that this broadcast will be a blessing to you. And if you're not a Christian today, would you be our special guest? And stay tuned. There is a God that doesn't sit aloof in His heaven. Our God cares about you enough to come down and to take your place and my place upon a cross to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven. So please stay tuned and let's talk about Jesus today. Let's talk about His love. I was talking to my dad the other day. He's 92 in December, and so we both go way back, and we were just discussing the love of God and remembering the songs, the theme songs I used to listen to when I listened to my pastor on radio when I was very, very young. And one of those songs was I Love to Tell the Story of Unseen Things Above, of Jesus and His Glory, of Jesus and His love. Hallelujah. I Love to Tell the Story will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And you know, friend, that's exactly what this broadcast is all about. We are continuing to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And there's a reason that we keep reiterating that, because the Bible said that we love Him because He first loved us. And to stimulate that return love, that rekindled love for Him, or to kindle that love for Him, we have to receive and focus on His great love wherewith He loved us. And what a great love it is today. Don't miss this broadcast. It will stimulate you to love your God if you're a Christian even more. And if you're not a Christian, I pray your heart will melt when you understand, but with the help of the Holy Spirit today, I can't declare this love of God and just to your intellect. Only God can make it real in your heart. So we know the Holy Spirit's going to help us to tell you about God's great love today. Amen. Don't miss this broadcast. And if you would like to visit our website, just type in THCOG. Someone has visited recently from Madison, and there are people visiting from different states in the United States. We had many downloads from Hollywood, California. We have had downloads, a lot of downloads from China, one of the nations that come frequently to our website, people within that nation, all the way down in Australia, all the way up in the Arctic, all the way over to the United Kingdom, and all the way back across to China. So we're just so grateful for people coming, and pray that they will find something here from the Word of God that would be a very special blessing. Everything is free of charge, no strings attached, and we welcome you to come. Type in THCOG on Google, and it will take you to our website, and you're welcome to come and download anything that you feel would be beneficial, or just listen online, and let's get in the Word of God. Let's let the Word of God get in us. You know, David said, "Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my pathway." And it gives me illumination in a darkened world. It points out the right path. It helps me to make the right choices that God will honor and that honors God. Amen. Well, having said that today, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 on this brand new subject, this call to intimacy with God. A call to intimacy with God. Let me read this scripture to you today. And this is our foundational scripture for this study in God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Going to read it again. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. One translation says companionship and participation with Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are not just saved from hell. We are not just saved for heaven. We are saved first and foremost for fellowship with God. Again, that word fellowship is in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, where it says, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." This word fellowship and this word communion that we find throughout the New Testament in particular is the Greek word koinonia, and it always means fellowship, communion, intimacy. It means a personal relationship whereby you come to know someone intimately. This is what God has always wanted. You know, there's an Old Testament scripture that's quoted and reiterated in the New Testament, and it said, "Let not the rich man glory," which means simply to boast in his riches. "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his strength. But he that boasts, let him boast in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God." That he knows and understands me. There's a great truth in this little story. One day a happy Christian met an Irish peddler. "It's a grand thing to be saved," the happy man exclaimed. "Ah," said the peddler, "it is, but I know something better than that." "Better than being saved?" the first man said. "What can you possibly know that is better than that?" "The friendship of the man who has saved me," came the unexpected reply. The friendship of the man who saved me. You see, Jesus said in the New Testament, "I have not called you servants. I have called you friends. For the servant doesn't know what his Lord doeth." When the master of the house wanted to talk over family business with the inner family circle, the servants were not privy to that. They had to leave the room. And he said, "I have not called you just simply servants, but I have called you friends." The servant doesn't know what his Lord doeth, but the friends know exactly, because their family. We have fellowship. We have intimacy. We know our Heavenly Father. God wants you to know Him today in a personal relationship. You know, church in and of itself can never replace a personal walk with God and a personal, intimate fellowship relationship with Jesus. You know what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea? He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door," in Revelation chapter 3, "and hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." Friend, that's a table for two, where two people can look each other in the eye and speak mouth to mouth, face to face. I've always believed there was more to prayer than rushing in to God's presence and making my petition known. Prayer is a time of intimacy. Prayer is a time of fellowship. Prayer is a time to commune with God, and not just to speak to Him, but to listen with your heart. Let me say that again, to listen with your heart so that God may be able to speak to you through all of the busyness of life. We're just too busy. And one word from the Lord dropped into your heart by the Holy Spirit. One word can turn your life around, can turn your night to day, can lift you up out of the deepest, deepest pit of despair. One word from Him in your heart. Praise God. Amen. That's one thing we're participating with Him today. As you hear me bring these scriptures today, as God's messenger, is to get His Word into your heart. Hallelujah. But more importantly, that you might know Him because of what He's speaking unto you. Praise the Lord. Let me read some scripture to you. 1 Corinthians 1:9, once again, "But God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." In the Greek, the word fellowship is koinonia. It's also translated as communion. God wants to have intimate communion, a close fellowship with us. Remember the garden of Adam and Eve when they sinned? Who hid themselves? Adam and Eve did. Who went looking for them? It was God looking for them. After the expulsion from the garden, after the flood, and at the time of the Exodus, God says to the people, "And let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them." That's found in Exodus 25 and verse 8. I want to read that again. God says, "And let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I might dwell among them." And you know, I've seen some beautiful churches. No doubt the church at Laodicea was a beautiful church because they were very, very wealthy. It was a wealthy church. And yet Jesus is standing at the door of a church, knocking, seeking to gain access. They practiced their religion, but there was no personal relationship with Him. And He said, "You say that I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And I say you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked." You don't really get it. It's not about the stones and the steeples and the stained glass. It's about a relationship with God and His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, make no mistake about it. When I go to church, I don't go to enjoy the architecture of the building. I don't even go to hear the greatest choir hit the highest notes. I go to hear people praise and worship a God who manifests His presence to us when we worship Him. And a God that I've been walking with and talking with all week long. I don't just meet Him at church. As a matter of fact, speaking of church, the Bible said that all of us that know the Lord, all of us that know Christ as our personal Savior, that we are a building fitly framed together for a habitation of God by the Spirit. Hallelujah. This Holy Spirit brings us into the presence of God. He mediates and manifests the presence of God to us. We still have a tabernacle for God to dwell in. He said, "Where two or more of us gather together in His name," He said, "there am I. There am I in the midst of them." So I expect to experience the presence of the Lord when we worship Him and when the Word of God is brought forth. Hallelujah. Amen. And Paul looked at a congregation of people and he said, "What? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Amen. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. Praise the Lord. Again, who is seeking to dwell with who? It is God seeking man. Take a look at John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word "dwelt" here in the Greek is a word that means a tabernacle, to tent, to dwell among. Again, it is the Lord who is seeking intimacy with us, fellowship with us, who is dwelling among us. Of course, we see that We are the temples of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 3:16. This signifies that the Lord is in us and the Lord is with us. Praise God. Paul, he said, what? You haven't got it? You can imagine his astonishment today of when we have substituted on many occasions, maybe ignorantly, or maybe just because we don't know any better, a religious ritual for a satisfying, sanctifying relationship with God. Friend, the dictionary defines intimacy as a very personal and private relationship marked by close association, contact, and familiarity. In the spiritual sense, intimacy with God is not something you approach out of a sense of duty, but it is a love relationship between you and your Heavenly Father that develops as a result of desire to know Him. He already knows you. And amazingly, and He knows me, and I think I can say this and you can agree that for someone to know everything about us and love us like God loves us, amen, and want to be close to us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you and we zero in on the place. We don't see the desire of God for intimacy and fellowship. We zero in on the gates of solid pearl. We zero in on the foundations and the street of gold and all of the beauty and grandeur, majesty beyond the human tongue ability to tell the beauty and glory of the place that we're going to live in. Ah, friend, but the person who is preparing the place looks at us differently. Listen to what he said. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. God wants us close to Him. That's what the place is all about. It's not the city that is so powerfully intriguing to me anymore. As wonderful as it is, and I can't wait to see the New Jerusalem. I can't wait to see the Holy City, but I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to see my daughter who was born premature and lived 4 days. I can't wait to see this young woman that will be in that city. Ah, it's the people that make the place worth going to. Not the gold, not the pearly gates. It is the persons, and particularly the man with the nail scars in his hands and feet inside, who loved us enough, and the God who sits upon the throne, who loved us enough to give His Son for us. Ah, we don't approach this intimacy out of a sense of duty or ritual. Rather, it's a love relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. In order to enter into a fellowship relationship with God, we need to understand, number one, that God is always the initiator of intimacy. God is always the initiator of intimacy. Someone said all other world religions are based on man's search for God. Christianity is unique in the sense, not only because it is true, absolutely the one true God, but because it is God searching for man. Jesus declared this great truth in Luke 10 and verse 19. It said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. God desires a relationship with us as Christians. But friend, today, if you're not a Christian, I want you to know God is seeking you. Scripture went on to say that, speaking of the shepherd analogy that Jesus used of Him being the good shepherd, and He said, a hireling fleeth when the wolf comes, but the good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. And it says that He will leave. It doesn't mean forsake or abandon. He'll leave the 99. There's 100 sheep, and He's brought them all in. And He counts them as they come into the pen at night, that place of safety, to sleep until He takes them out to graze the next day. He counts them. Part of the rod that the shepherd had was to touch the back of every sheep coming through that narrow gate And if there's one missing, the Bible said he will leave the 99, not abandon them, but leave them in the security. They're okay. They're okay. They are safe. They are secure. But there's a missing one that's in jeopardy. There's a missing one that's in danger. And this shepherd will leave the 99. You know, maybe that sheep is missing because it didn't follow the shepherd. Maybe that sheep is missing because it was headstrong and stubborn and just wanted to go its own way. Doesn't matter why it's missing. That sheep is worth his every effort to find. Not simply because that he's going to have to account for that sheep, because he's not a hireling. He's not someone hired to watch the sheep. These sheep belong to him. He has a claim upon them. I'm going to tell you, even if you're not the Lord's, the blood of Jesus has a claim on you. Whether you receive it, whether you respond to it, the blood of Jesus has paid your sin debt. And only you can come and claim the blessing and the benefit by asking Christ into your heart, repenting of your sins, and receiving the gift of salvation. But he will leave the 99 and he will go out and search for that one till he find it. If it takes him all night, if he's gone all night long, and it's daybreak when he finally discovers this sheep, he will bring it back to the fold and bring it back into health. God is the initiator. The Bible said we didn't choose him. He chose us. We had to respond to him when he called us. But he is the initiator of love. He is the initiator of grace and mercy. He came looking for Adam and Eve. They hid themselves in shame, but he came looking for them. And he brought them a covering to cover them. The first death in the universe, the first blood that was ever shed, was when God slayed an animal to take its skin to cover the shame of Adam and Eve after they sinned. And it became what Bible scholars call, respectfully, the scarlet thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation. That said, through the shedding of blood, there is a remission of sin. There is a covering. Not to conceal sin, but to cancel sin. When God looks at us after the cross, we who've received Christ as Savior, he sees the purity of his Son. He sees an exchange has taken place. Our filthy robes were placed on him, and he was punished for our sin, and his perfect robe was placed on us. Oh, what a loving Heavenly Father we have that would go to this length. What a great Savior we have that would choose, make no mistake about it, nails didn't hold him to that cross. We serve a Jesus who chose to stay in agony and pain when everything within him cried for release from his agony and suffering. But he stayed on that cross. He stayed on that cross so he could save you. And so he could save me. God is the initiator of intimacy. Our God desires a relationship with us so much that he would give his only Son to die in our place. At the very first communion or Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, Jesus' last meal with his disciples, here's what he said before going to the cross. And Jesus said unto them, in Luke 22:15, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus knew on the way to the cross what the final outcome would be. He came to save us, to lay down his life. He was about to bridge the gap between God and fallen man, to break down the gates of hell, and to open wide the gates of heaven. He did it as a supreme act of love, not out of his duty to obey his Father only, but his desire to deliver us and to live with us forever. Praise the Lord. A communion relationship is born out of intimacy between two people. In Christianity, this communion is between God and the Christian. It is a sharing of the common purpose of the Spirit. This is a sign of an intimate relationship and peacefulness between God and man. And today, you may be one of those sheep that is in jeopardy. You may be the one that is the focus of God's great desire to seek and to save you from yourself, from your sin, and from your great enemy of your soul, Satan. I'm telling you, today Jesus came to seek and to save that one that is missing from the fold. And in a very real sense, every lost person is missing from the fold. God wants you to be part of His family. God wants you to be part of His sheepfold. God wants to father you in the family, and He wants to shepherd you in the fold. He wants to be your provider, your defender, your protector. Amen. I don't want to. Someone said, that's the problem with Christianity. Christianity is a crutch for weak people. Friend, we're all weak people. Some people, alcohol is their crutch. Jesus is mine. Some people, cocaine is their crutch. Jesus is mine. Some people, nicotine is their crutch. Jesus is mine. We all have a crutch. Some people, it's wealth. The pursuit of wealth is their crutch. It's the only thing that they lean on to make them feel good about themselves and to make them feel that they are protected. Well, Jesus is my wealth. Jesus is my crutch. If Christianity is a crutch, give me two of them. I don't want to live independent from a God who loves me like this. But I want to live my life very dependent upon Him. If you're one of those people that is away from the fold, you knew if you drew your last breath, you don't belong to God. You don't have a Savior in Jesus Christ. You haven't received the gift of salvation. Oh, friend, what a tragedy it would be to miss such a great love, a great salvation as this. All of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the agony of the cross would be in vain if anyone rejects God's call to just come and receive the gift of eternal life. When you come to receive it, you have to turn from your sin and turn to God. That's called repentance. It's a prerequisite. It is not a work. Salvation is not of works. But there has to be a change in the direction that we're headed. Amen. These are not just free tickets to heaven that God is giving out while we are on the highway to hell. No, we turn from that highway and we turn to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then grace is so free, so rich, so wonderful that we have a brand new desire to reciprocate that love and to serve Him. I'm going to challenge you today that if you are one of those sheep that's out of the fold, if you're a backslid Christian, if you're away from God and you're not serving Him, you're not loving Him, you've lost any desire to go to church, hear His Word, you're just working, sleeping, eating, working, sleeping, eating, trying to find a little bit of pleasure here or there, but without the peace, the joy of Jesus. I pray today that you would come home. That you will come home today. Amen. That He might restore your soul. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior today, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you will let the Shepherd find you by saying, Lord, here am I. Lord, take me home. Take me home. If you'll do that today, pray that simple prayer. Lord, I repent of my sin and I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Today, your destiny will change and God will come to live with you and then take you to live with Him forever. We love you today. Will you come back next week? Let's talk about Jesus.
Spirit.